miss any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Don't forget to catch us on Facebook. Did a Facebook Live at noon today. Do another one tomorrow. It's still up there if you want to check it out as well. Chris also posted a piece on 99.3ESPN.com about dynasties in sports, whether they're good or not, as we watch the Patriots and their parade. It's also part of our Twin Peaks Twitter feed today as well. You could vote on that for the remainder of the show. So we got a lot going on. Our phone number for your participation is 239-337-ESPN. We've got a $50 gift card from Ace Hardware going to be given away this hour. And Cameron Wolf will join us from ESPN. We'll talk about Brian Flores, the new head coach of the Miami Dolphins. All right, we're full.
Yeah, we are. I'm filled record crowds because the weather was 62 today.
Can I ask a question without seeming like a
nobody went to school.
Like a jerk?
Nobody went to work.
You know the old saying, everybody loves a parade?
Yes.
Do we? I find them a little boring.
I do too.
I never went to one. And I could have just stood. I mean, I've gone to bars across the street where the route is, and I've just.
I thought you were talking parades in general.
I am.
I don't.
4th of July parade. I don't want to sound unpatriotic, but I've been to a few where you fight traffic, you go to a crowd, and you watch the Shriners go around in their little go-karts.
Unless it's like right out your door if you live in any particular city.
Yeah.
It's one thing. But to go out of my way to go to a parade and stand usually in the freezing cold.
I mean, you get to see the fire trucks and all that.
I don't do parades, and I don't go out of my way to see fireworks. If I can see them from my house or in my complex or at the top of somebody's roof, that's fine. But I am not going out of my way to go see fireworks or parades.
Is it because of the crowds or because the event just does nothing for you?
Both. Okay. It's not being unpatriotic. It's just
fireworks are cool.
Fireworks are cool, but I'm not going to go fight traffic, get eaten by mosquitoes, and many times have to camp out what seems like a hippie commune, you know, for days to get a seat somewhere.
Yeah,
I can just go up to somebody's roof or look out my own window and see fireworks.
You want to know one good parade, and I'm glad I did it once. It was always on my bucket list.
Don't tell me the Macy's.
No, the Rose Parade.
Oh, the Rose Parade, yeah.
But I don't need to do it again. I don't need to fight a million people.
Were you staying? Did you have to drive to it? Or
I had we had dear friends that lived 6 blocks away, so we got to just go to their house and walk to it instead of fighting the fight.
That I would do.
Because
that's convenient. I would do.
It was convenient.
And if you're going to the game after, then I totally understand.
I'm going to say something that's unpopular among Big Ten fans. Rose Bowl. Overrated.
It doesn't apply to the Big Ten anymore. It's not our bowl.
Okay, that's fair. I grew up in an era where the Rose Bowl, the best Rose Bowl games, not Big Ten versus Pac-12. Rose Bowl, I remember, Texas-USC.
Yeah, you're right.
How about Florida State-Auburn? That ring a bell, anyone?
Well, they're gonna Texas, rotate
Alabama.
Again, right? They're gonna rotate.
Oh, they rotate it every three years.
So
every 3 years, I love watching the Rose Bowl. It's when it's the semifinal.
It's still my favorite bowl game, but it has lost some zippy zawa in the translation of how college football's gone.
Oh, is it new on CBS?
I told you this. Here's why I like the Rose Bowl. And the reason I like the Rose Bowl is probably one of the reasons Chris wouldn't like it. Keep in mind now, growing up as a kid, and, you know, I was in Michigan and Indiana growing up. And so Michigan be in it, usually take it on Southern Cal, whatever. You'd be in the dead of winter. You know, Christmas is come and gone. There's no leaves on the trees. There's snow on the ground. There's ice. It's freezing. There's like 2 minutes of sunlight every day. And then, boom, in color on my TV is the beautiful Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. Mm-hmm. Now, Pasadena in person was the biggest disappointment. I lived there for a while.
Yeah.
Biggest disappointment in person. But I thought on TV, it looks beautiful. And all the colors and the pageantry. And it was always my favorite bowl game.
And it always seemed that a lot of times it would – did they used to go up against the national championship game sometimes?
It was always
going on at the same time. Would start at like 5 o'clock Eastern time,
and then the national Rose Bowl, and then the Orange Bowl would be afterwards.
Yeah, afterwards, or sometimes you'd be the Orange or the Sugar.
That's a bowl game.
But Orange or the Sugar usually decide the national championship. Then the Fiesta a little bit later on.
Yeah,
but The Rose Bowl would overlap one of those games, if I remember, back in the day.
Yeah.
So you'd always, but, and the Rose Bowl always seemed good teams, usually good games, but not, you always like, okay, I'll watch this until, you know, Penn State's playing Georgia or something.
And now we have all these meaningless bowl games, but I will still watch the Rose Bowl. Usually it is my personal tradition. That's when I take down the Christmas tree, watch the Rose Bowl, kick back, get my house back to normal, and then you start your year. You're probably back at work the next day or two, and you get on with your life after the holiday lull.
I've always been a big fan of the Outback Bowl for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, Tampa, SEC, Big Ten.
That's not getting a lot of play nationwide.
No, it's not. It's just always one of those bowls. I don't know why. It always matches with my routine that day. It's always a few days before New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Or New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like when they start the real bowl season, not the... the other bowl season, you know, all the nonsense. Yeah.
As long as we're talking,
gonna add more too.
As long as we're talking college football, I had something here that may. It's never too early to do this. Just there's only five teams to talk about. There's a piece in USA Today today. College football playoff have-nots that have been really recruiting well the past couple. Basically, the next in line, other than the Alabamas and the Clemsons and the Georgia, the same ones we get. Here's who's next on the list. First one they mention is Texas A&M. Apparently, you know, they've been recruiting well the past couple years there.
They're very close. They gave Alabama a game. I mean,
yeah.
22.
Jimbo.
Yeah, before, though.
All right. I'll breeze through. I don't want to do a whole big thing. Yeah. Next on the list, Texas Longhorns. Everybody thinks Texas is back.
Oh, God.
Texas is back because they beat Georgia.
Oh, and your mascot went after Ugga. Yeah. Big bad Texas.
God, yeah. Immediately, and please.
Now, according to this piece on USA Today, the next team on this list, Florida Gators, are ready to make
that,
a move.
I
know who number one on this list is.
Well, these are just the top five. All right? They're in no particular order. Penn State is on this list. Are they ready to make a move in the Big Ten and supplant Ohio State, which apparently has, you know, a coaching change?
Yeah, well, they played.
Is Jim Harbaugh finally going to get it done at Michigan?
Yeah, remember, they're replacing a three-year starter at quarterback with Trace McSorley.
Yeah.
And then Michigan's got to be next on this list,
no,
right?
You know, no. But the Ohio State Buckeyes. How is that possible?
They've won it.
This is why we hate Ohio State.
I don't hate Ohio
State. They always get left out now all of a sudden.
What do you mean they get left out? They're on because Coach Day's going to, you know.
Well, they've been on the outside looking in when a couple of times. But
yeah, well, because of two bad road losses in consecutive seasons.
Yeah, but that was just
otherwise it would have
list.
Been, and if had not been, my chaos theory would have come into play, and we already been expanding the already. We'll have to wait another year.
Already expanding.
Yeah.
All right, that was a little sidebar. You know, it's this show. If you all listen, if you're new to this show, it doesn't matter what time of year it is, we will do a college football tangent. Just like that. By the way, football season, NFL Combine, 3 weeks from today. NFL Draft, 79 days. Hall of Fame game, 176 days. That's all you got to do. We're practically into football season already.
Big Combine guy.
Yeah, you are.
I'm
the three
of
us, I think you're the
biggest Combine
guy.
Love Why? Combine. Love it.
Why?
Oh, it's tomorrow's stars today.
This year.
Why are you watching chin-ups and lifting weights and running meaningless 40-yard times?
You know,
it means
look,
nothing.
I'll agree with you. The 40's meaningless. The three-cone drill?
Three-cone
drill. That correlates.
That's it.
That absolutely correlates.
However, we talked about doing this last year, and I want to make sure we do it this year. I want Craig, Pete, and Chris, I want 40-yard times. I want to mark off 40 yards on this road down here, and we're going to put it on the board all year.
I'll fall.
The problem is getting an accurate time.
Well, you can do it on this. Somebody can be there.
A stopwatch. But, okay, if I run a 6-1, I'm going to be upset and say, no, you pushed the button point too late. I ran a sub-6.
All right, let's get somebody else like Rachel or somebody else in the building to do it.
No.
Like a neutral observer.
I only run 40 on lasers.
I can barely get out of the chair today. Laser. My leg's killing me so bad.
Well, you're
down the hall.
You're going to have a sucky time.
He can't do this.
I'll be the official
let's
timer.
Let's do it on a Friday at 5 o'clock so when he's injured for the next 3 days, he won't miss any work time.
We'll see how many times I can put up 225.
Zero. It's a lot to... Have you tried to do a pull-up recently?
No,
recently, I mean the last 10 years. Those are hard.
Yeah, they're very hard.
I'm foam metal jacket. Come on, Private Pile. You can't do one pull-up. Jesus H. Christ. One pull-up pile. Now get out of my face.
Well, it's a bad combination because I'm not as strong as I was in high school, and I weigh more.
And I wasn't that strong in high school.
It's not a good combo.
I weigh more. Got to heave all that up.
This guy. Your butt looks like about 1,000 pounds of bubblegum, Pyle.
Wonderlic test? Sign me up.
Oh, that's easy. So
that makes me nervous.
I can do that.
I find the questions easy that have leaked out, whatever, but...
What's the eighth month of the year?
Under
People
pressure. I know.
August. Well, some of the math can take, you take your time a little bit. You try to outthink yourself.
Saved it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the combine.
Yeah.
Not so much the linemen and the work that they do, but watching DBs do the backpedal, and then you got to... Mike Mayock taught me this. Fluid hips. That's what you're looking for. Good fluidity. Good. And don't bend at the waist. You bend with your knees.
Yeah.
These are things you can look out for.
Mike Mayock.
I can't bend at my knees.
We won't get to enjoy Mike Mayock at the combine this year. Now
I have bone chips in my knees. In an operation.
Seriously, I want a 40-yard challenge.
I could just see Mayock. Hey, John, come here. You know, make sure your players are bending at the knees properly as they're falling on their faces, giving up massive touchdowns in their
4-12 season. You don't want a waistbender.
No. You get out over your toes that way, right? Can't get out over your toes.
You nailed it, Craig. You could be the GM of the Raiders.
I probably could. I've argued a long time on this show. I could be a GM of an NBA or NFL team. Pay me $3 million a year. I'll do a better job than half the guys in place right now.
I had it stand outside a sand trap the other day to hit the ball in the trap. It was in the trap on the third hole.
And you had to stand out of the trap?
One of those where you have to stand outside the trap.
Well, you had to swing outside your hips.
Because I'm a right-handed golfer. I was a left-handed golfer. I'm standing outside the trap. I have my pitching wedge. I'm 94 miles away. I'm like, okay, 94 yards away. I said, okay, and you got to catch it sort of clean. And I hit a good shot right on the fringe. I probably hit it about 90, right, a decent shot right on the fringe. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to go into trap because the way I followed through and the way the club hits and the way you followed through like it did come up. But it was the whole awkwardness of the thing.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was going to – a sharp pain resonated from my body, from, like, my eyebrows down to my pinky toe.
Is this why you're in pain today?
No, I don't know. Maybe. But it only lasted a couple of seconds. But I'm like, this is ridiculous. Mm. This is hitting a golf ball out of us. I mean, and that's why when Tiger did it a couple weeks ago and he was, like, bent into a pretzel when his ball was like a fried egg in the trap. That was impressive, even though he just got it out of the trap.
Guys, and I forgot the most anticipated event at this year's draft. Two of them, actually.
Draft or combine?
Combine.
What?
I want to see the hand size for all these quarterbacks. Yeah. That's big. You need big hands to play quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
And how tall is Kyler Murray? Yeah. Is he 5 foot eight and three quarters? Is he 5'9", 5'9" and a half? We got to find these things out.
Wow.
This could be the next quarterback of the Miami Dolphins.
It also, but what if nobody knows and he just goes into the draft and he starts to fall and fall and fall and fall?
Then he's going to go play baseball.
And fall.
he's the best.
And then.
He got nothing to worry about.
Phone call. Billy B.
Whoever it is, whoever's doing the draft says. And with the number 31 pick,
oh gosh,
the New England Patriots select Kyler Murray.
Yeah. He's not the Belichick type.
Quarterback probably of the future. Not, but it is interesting.
You were all on board with Kyle Letta last year, too. He worked out?
Well, no, but I was on board when Jackson fell as much as he did. I was really surprised they didn't take him.
Yeah,
but anyway.
No doubt about it. All right, phone number 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776.
We got to have the audience to this hour. You got to hear what LeVar Ball said earlier today, this morning.
Yeah,
Phoenix
I think we're
going
to do that again before we leave the airways. That was fantastic.
He has officially, if you thought he lost it before, it is confirmed. LeVar Ball is nuts. Yeah.
I got to read some texts. We got some phone calls as well while we're talking about our little combine nonsense. 941. OMG, I put up a pull-up bar outside a couple years ago. Hadn't done any in probably decades, though I worked in construction for 22 years. Couldn't do more than three pull-ups the first time I tried. Couldn't believe it. Three's good. If you can do three, you're in good shape.
It's a humbling moment.
Yeah.
When's the last time you guys did a push-up?
The other day.
Oh, really?
I can do a push-up.
You bang them out?
Not a lot.
I do about 10, and I'm kind of out of breath.
Oh, 10.
I'm out of breath.
At the upper limit.
About once a month, I'll get a hair up my, you know what, and say, hey, let's see if I can do a push-up.
I dropped something and went under the couch the other day.
Oh, God.
I had to get down on my hands and knees. I almost called 911.
No, it's worse. It's gotten to the point where I notice I'm breathing heavy just putting my freaking tennis shoes on. Just bending over. Like, good God, when did this happen?
Double knot because those comes undone.
My face is all red from bending over to tie my shoe.
Honey, I need Velcro.
Yeah, Velcro would be great. 407 says, I swear the guy next to me in the car in the red light is listening. We just keep making eye contact and cracking up. I love that. That's good. All right, let's go to the phones. Jeff in Fort Myers, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hello.
Hey, Jeff.
What's going on, gentlemen?
What's up?
Hey, man, I was just talking to Chris about this. It's one of those things that professional athletes can do and they make it look easy, but when a normal Joe tries to do it, it's horrible. I was at this, like, fan appreciation day for the Philadelphia Eagles at the NovaCare Complex, which is right across the street from the Link. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we were in this facility, and they had one of those machines that simulated kickoffs. So it's like the thing with the two spinning tires. And so they put a football in it, and the thing sounds like a cannon going off.
Right. Yeah.
It shoots the sucker 900,000 feet in the air.
It's like a jugs machine, right? Yeah.
From the sheer height that the ball goes, I was already pooping myself.
Yeah.
And when the ball came down, I just put my hands out, and it felt like I got hit with a 12-gauge shotgun in my hand. It like blew my hands off, and I dropped the thing, and everyone's laughing at me. And I'm like, wow, I really underestimated that.
I believe it. And you know what? I think that's the most daring thing in sports. Not on a kickoff, but a punt return. That you have to stare up into the ceiling of an arena. Mm-hmm. 75,000 people screaming at you, and 11 guys running full speed trying to kill you.
Yeah, hoping the hell the sun isn't in your eyes either.
Yeah, or sun
or
wind on top of that.
Or whatever.
I think catching a punt is the most gutsy thing in sports. It's unbelievable.
Just a fair catch it.
Yeah.
Got to keep your elbows in of those sides.
Is that the secret?
You don't want the ball leaking out.
You can't let it hit your helmet. It's one thing when it hits the chest. When it hits your helmet or your face mask, then it's like.
It's over. 860 says, get Pete a life alert. I've fallen and I can't get up. Yeah.
Please. I agree.
It's not a bad idea.
It's getting to be tough.
When Elaine goes on those business trips.
Yeah. But hope my Wi-Fi works.
Yeah, you better have your cell phone within reach. You maybe make a phone call.
Like, if my Wi-Fi ever went out and where I live.
Oh, you'd be dead.
And no one was home, and I did fall. I would be dead. It'd be a foul stench after a couple days.
All right.
You know?
Could you, like, roll somewhere? Maybe not.
No.
All right, coming up, $50 gift card.
Yeah, roll into the pond with the Gators.
Ace Hardware. Oh, yeah. It'd be a nice snack. And Cameron Wolf joins us from ESPN next. We'll talk about Brian Flores, the new head coach, the new hire of the Miami Dolphins. We'll see what the plan is. Tank or win? Fins up, everybody. It's next. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Fins up, everybody. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Of course, Brian Flores has been officially named the head football coach as of yesterday. We watched his press conference. We talked about it here on the air. Cameron Wolf, friend of the program, covers the Dolphins, is with us to digest everything now that everything's been official, and he is with us right now. By the way, to all of our listeners, hang tight at the end of this conversation. Give you a chance to win a $50 gift card from Ace Hardware. Stay tuned for details there. In the meantime, Cameron, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Cameron.
Doing great. How are you guys?
Great.
Good. All right. So it was probably the worst-kept secret in the NFL while the playoffs were going on that Brian Flores was going to be the head coach of the Dolphins. It was made official. He had his press conference yesterday. The thing that caught all of our eyes this morning were the details of the contract. I believe of all the new coaches, he's the only one to get a 5-year deal instead of 4 and an option. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I thought that was a great job by his agent. And his team out there making sure they get, you know, all their worth. But I thought that was really a sign from the Dolphins that, hey, we're going to keep true to our word. He's going into a situation where it's a rebuild. There's no secret that they're probably going to be bad next year. And he probably also saw what happened in Arizona with Steve Wilkes. And,
and what happened in Denver with Vance Joseph, with them getting 1 and 2 years, you know, and you have to worry about your stability as a coach. So the best way to ensure that you'll be okay as far as security is to make sure the money matches up. So I'm sure that was a contingency for him and his team to say, hey, if we're going to take on this this big rebuild, then we want to make sure that we're paid to see it, you know, more than just, you know, 3 or 4 years.
Cameron, last couple of years with Gase, to me it was like kind of like night and day yesterday when Brian Flores was speaking, and I think in a way that made people feel more comfortable, at least, you know, simpler, or just talking about not so much X's and O's, but about how he talked about personalities, and yes, there's going to be pain, but it sounded more genuine. Am I off base there?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think the biggest thing that I kind of took away from it, and Steve Ross kind of described it a little bit, is that they felt like, you know, we're not going to look for scheme fit, offensive mind, you know. And Ross said that, you know, he went away from the trend of finding the next Sean McVay that it seems like every team is doing. And instead he said, hey, I just want to find somebody to lead this team and the best leader. And I think, you know, many people I've talked to about finding a new head coach, they say more than anything it's about finding a CEO like you would of any business. And yeah, there may be CEOs who are really good at creating ideas and strategies, but ultimately you've got to run the people in your organization. You got to make sure that everything checks out. You got to make sure the culture fits. You got to make sure when chaos happens, how do you respond to that? And I think that that was their pick this year. They could have easily decided to hire a quarterback whisperer to replace the quarterback whisperer. They just fired Gase. But they said, you know what? We're going in a different direction. We're going to try to do something different. So let's pick somebody different than we normally would.
So at the end of the day, was Gase a bad leader? Because that's the first thing I thought when I heard that comment yesterday. And I remember, you know, Gase cleared out a locker room with guys that he thought was a bad fit. Maybe they shouldn't have gotten rid of that talent. Maybe a better leader could have handled that. Was that what you got out of that?
I feel like some of that's fair. I feel like the biggest thing is that Adam Gase's best skill set was his ability to call plays. And his best skill set, the best thing he brought to the team was his scheme. So I think that, you know, I don't want to say that he didn't have any leadership abilities, because you can't be a coach at any level without having some ability to lead. But I think that wasn't his biggest strength. I think that he wanted to stay on his side of the ball, and he wanted to focus on getting the most out of the quarterback, getting the most out of the offense, and making sure the numbers on the field lined up to what he wanted. And I think with Flores, you're going to find a guy who figures that scheme is less important than the players. We're going to make sure the players buy into what we're selling here, and they play hard, and the team element's important. But I'm not going to sacrifice, alienate anybody because it's, you know, they don't fit what I'm trying to do.
What kind of input do you think, Cameron, that Flores is going to have defensively? Look, I know that he'll probably, I think on the surface, he will do a very good job. But all that being said, who's going to quarterback this team? It's not going to be Tannehill. It's not going to be Osweiler. I mean, right. Stephen Ross, he's not going to throw David Fales out there, is he? And just say, you know, do what you can with this guy for a couple of years, and then we'll go after Trevor Lawrence or somebody like that. I hope that's not the case for this coach.
I hope too. I got to watch this team for 16 games next year, so there's at least something watchable. But yeah, I think that's a question. I'm actually writing a story about that in the coming days, about where they are with the quarterback path. You know, Chris Greer talked to us yesterday, some reporters off to the side, and there was a couple quarterback nuggets in there. And one was that, you know, he said he they haven't made a final decision on Ryan Tannehill yet, but he wouldn't dismiss the idea that, hey, he's not coming back. So I think that's something we've reported throughout, that, hey, the expectation is Ryan Tannehill will not be the starting quarterback next year. They want to give the coaching staff, when they're officially hired, a chance to evaluate the roster and evaluate him. But the expectation is he'll be released or traded this offseason. And then as far as this year, I know that there's been a lot of talk about tanking. Chris Greer said that he wouldn't be opposed to selecting a quarterback in this upcoming draft, 2019 draft. And he said that he was willing and open to falling in love, quote-unquote, with a quarterback. He mentioned that they fell in love with two quarterbacks last year, but they were selected before the Dolphins picked, and there were four, obviously, up there
with Baker Mayfield, you know, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, and Josh Rosen. So you can kind of take your pick of whoever they like. But of those four, two of those they fell in love with and probably would have seriously considered picking if they were available. And he said, you know, he's willing to go through that process again. So I wouldn't be shocked if they end up drafting a quarterback this year. I think that, you know, they have to draft their franchise quarterback this year or next year. So it's about how they look at the process and say, you know, is there a guy out there we love, or do we just want to have a stopgap in there and wait till 2020 where we can find the guy that, you know, really fits what we're trying to do long term.
Cameron Wolf with us, Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. You just answered my next question, so it brings an interesting development here. So let's say they do have a quarterback fall to them in the draft, and I'm of the opinion that the quarterbacks aren't that great this year, as you just alluded to. 2020 might be the better year. Do you think they would draft 2 years in a row at the quarterback position? Or if they draft one in 2019, that's it. That's the guy they're going to ride with for the next 4 years.
Right, right. I think that's definitely a viable idea. And honestly, if I was the GM of the Dolphins, one, I'd be paid a lot more money. But two, I would definitely, you know, consider that, because that's the one position that can absolutely change the direction of your franchise. And, you know, there's the old adage that you could draft a quarterback every year because, you know, that position weighs heavily more than any other spot. So they haven't drafted a quarterback before the seventh round over the last 7 years since Ryan Tannehill's been the quarterback. So I think that, you know, this would be a good time to say, hey, maybe we go to back-to-back. I know about 5 or 6 years ago, Washington did that with Kirk Cousins and RG3. And you never know how it worked out. And eventually, Kirk Cousins became the guy in Washington, and he was the lower drafted guy. So I definitely don't think it would be a bad idea if you say, hey, we don't love anybody in the first round, maybe you draft somebody in the second or third round here and let him compete with a veteran. And if he wins the job, then, hey, that's an extra quarterback you can develop and you know, have compete in your room. But it doesn't really dissuade you from drafting again next year. So I definitely think that's a viable option, and, you know, I'm sure they'll consider it.
I'm wondering how Dolphin fans feel. Would Ross ever consider Greer, you know, going, you know, the Derek Carr route that way, trying to make a deal with the Raiders doing that? Foles, other options? Would they go that route?
I don't think so, honestly. I think that they want to rebuild it from ground. And I think they've talked a lot about the Band-Aid fixes or the, you know, the solid or average fixes that, you know, may be tantalizing to the eye initially, but eventually have their downfalls. So I think that all of those moves, you know, may be positive for, you know, one or two steps, but I don't think there's anybody on the market that's willing to be traded that you can say, hey, this guy's going to change our franchise. And I think that's what they're looking for. They're looking for their Patrick Mahomes, their guy who can, you know, elevate a team from mediocrity to potentially competing for a championship every year. So I don't expect them, you know, to be involved with a Derek Carr or a Matthew Stafford or a Joe Flacco. Any of these guys who, you know, are good enough to be one of your better, your top 32 quarterbacks, but haven't proven to be good enough to, you know, bring a team a championship.
So could you see that? You know, could you see them taking the Daniel Jones, Shea Patterson, Rippon out of Boise State? You could see one of those three being drafted by the Dolphins?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, especially the latter two you mentioned, they're probably more second day or even third day picks. I definitely could see them going that route. You know, they're in a position now where they need to add competition to the room. And you don't know who's going to start. So if you draft a quarterback in the third round, if he ends up starting with you, you could still draft one in the first round next year and be happy that you have your number one and number two quarterbacks for the future. So I definitely could see them drafting one of those guys you mentioned, a Will Greer out of West Virginia. I could see something like that, you know, appealing to them, you know, if it doesn't happen in the first round, you know, in the second or third.
Well, you never know. I mean, every once in a while, even a six-rounder will do okay in this league. talking with Cameron Wolf, talking about the Dolphins with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Final question for me. We spent all this time talking about the offense and what to do at quarterback because it's so important. But do you see maybe Brian Flores putting an emphasis on defense first? I think some of these coaches that come from that side of the ball might have a little pride and say, look, I'm a linebackers coach. I'm coming in here. I want my defense to look pretty good first before we figure out what's going on with the offense, particularly if our quarterback that we love isn't going to be around for 2 years. Do you see him building the defense first?
Yeah, I definitely think they will. I think one thing to sort of look at this roster and see what's there, and what's here to stay is that they have more pieces to build around on that defense already here than offense. So I think the defense is closer to being a playoff caliber side of the ball than the offense is. So, you've got to rebuild that defensive line, and I think that'll be a priority for them, this draft period. So I think that's what you'll see done by Brian Flores, figuring out who to bring in to rush the passer, to stop the run, and rebuilding that defensive line and kind of leaning on that defensive back crew and trying to develop them with Xavier Howard and Minkah Fitzpatrick. So I definitely think they will spend, two, maybe three picks this year on trying to fix, that front seven.
All right, Cameron, as always, thanks for coming on. And we want to talk some Dolphins. Appreciate it. Nice job.
Thanks, okay. Cameron.
Thanks, guys.
That's Cameron Wolf, covers the Dolphins for ESPN. A lot of thoughts of what's going on there. Brian Flores, the new head coach, doesn't rule out them drafting a quarterback. Behind the scenes, they were even saying not totally a done deal, that Ryan Tannehill will be let go, but he probably will be. And a lot of interesting conversations there. Got the five-year deal with Brian Flores because he saw what happened to the Steve Wilks and the likes of that. If we're going to rebuild, let's do it right. Let's protect myself, a little security. And so a lot of interesting things.
I think it's interesting because there's a lot of, some of the quarterbacks I mentioned, and I've always kind of been a Ryan Finley fan at NC State. I think he's so, it's a crapshoot. You just don't know. And I know like next year's class looks so much better in the year after that, and I get that. But who knows? Maybe the next great one is in one of these top six. Maybe it's Stidham. Maybe some of these guys, maybe it's Greer. Maybe they get it together, depending on what organization drafts them, and they find it. So that's the thing. That's the beauty of the draft is you can have all the conversations we want about what they did at the combine and a lot of other statistics. And until we see them actually play in the National Football League, it's really hard to say this one's going to stink or this one isn't. That's why I'm a little unfair with Herbert out of Oregon so far. It's not fair that. To me, on the surface, doesn't strike me as a leader in the NFL. But that's we're at least another year away from that.
Well, what Cameron said right there that I didn't even know. 7 years since the Dolphins have drafted a quarterback before the seventh round. I mean, look, man, I get it. Yeah. It's a lottery when you're picking a quarterback in the fifth round. But if you're going to win the lottery, you got to buy the ticket.
Right.
The Dolphins haven't been buying the ticket. Can't and I don't know if that's because they didn't want to affect the psyche of Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but you can't. Even the Patriots do it, man. I mean, you look at, I would venture to say the Dolphins are the only team in the NFL who has not drafted a quarterback before the seventh round in the last 7 years.
I think that's a good point about Gase not wanting to offend Tannehill. I think he babied him big time and went out of his way to protect him. And
that also goes back to Philbin as well. So you get two guys that maybe were more stylistic coaches than actual leaders. Something Cameron said right there where Flores, it's the leader, man. We'll get the right pieces and hire the right OCs and DCs.
All right, if you
got to have a leader of men.
We can continue this conversation, what the Dolphins should do at 239-337 ESPN. Also, as promised, following that conversation, right now, caller number 9 going to win a $50 gift certificate to Ace Hardware. It's part of their fourth annual Reel in the Sunshine Free Fishing Expo this Saturday in Bonita Springs. Enjoy free fishing seminars taught by renowned fishing captains, new product demonstrations, and blowout offers. Caller number 9 right now wins a $50 gift card courtesy of Ace Hardware at 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.
Wham!
Wake me up before you go-go.
Why are we doing it? Why is this on our rotation?
It's a good song.
Wake me up before you go-go.
Is it a good song, or is it Is it one of those guilty pleasures that you won't listen to in front of other people, but it's a little toe tapper when you're by yourself?
I don't have those.
You know?
Yeah, you do.
No,
everybody
I listen. I'm very open with my music.
You like all the Chris Farley movies. Remember that when they start singing the Carpenters in the car?
This is one of the best opening scenes of any movie ever. Zoolander. Look it up. They get in a gasoline fight, and then one of the guys goes to smoke a cigarette, and they blow up.
How about a little Katrina and the Waves walking on sunshine?
There you go.
It's a good song. That's
1985.
Great song. That's one. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, maybe we'll
walking
just,
on sunshine.
Let's just let Katrina handle that one. All right, yeah. Congratulations to Matthew in Fort Myers. He was the winner of a $50 gift card from Ace Hardware. We could give away more of those this week, or was today a one and done? Or
no, okay. We got more.
All right, congratulations to Matthew for that.
Cameron was excellent.
I thought Cameron was very good. I mean, sometimes you have interviews, and then sometimes you get some information out of interviews, and that the latter was the case there. That is for sure on the direction of the Dolphins and where they're going. Because look, on the outside looking in, it looked like all right, they're going to hire. You know, they're going to hire Brian Flores, and they're going to stink because they're rebuilding, and then they're going to fire him like Steve Wilkes got fired with Arizona. They're going to move on and get the next guy. I mean, Jim Caldwell's going to be sitting on the staff. It just didn't look right. But he got his fifth year on the deal. It looks like they're going to rebuild with him or give him every opportunity to, and they may draft a quarterback this year. They may draft one this year and next year. Ryan Tannehill, not 100% gone, but it's believed he'll be gone.
Again, and we're talking about Shea Patterson's of the world. We're talking about Brett Rypien.
Is Patterson going
Shea
pro?
Patterson's got
I think he's staying in Michigan.
Yeah, he got another year with Michigan. He's not coming out.
I thought he was.
He does that. You're right. He does have another. He's a junior. Yep. Daniel Jones, Duke, you hate. But
Duke football I don't have a problem with.
Really? You look the other way?
I like David Cutcliffe.
Jake Browning in Washington.
No.
I know.
I saw that Pac-12 championship game.
I know.
No,
I
thank
agree.
You.
No.
My gut feeling is I don't know why. I think Jarrett Stidham may be the one.
I think there's Jarrett Stidham hanging out there. I still think Drew Locke, who was everything going into the year.
Yeah. Yeah. Clayton Thorson at Northwestern, I think, is very underrated. And Will Grier.
Will Grier.
Yeah, I think he could. Again, everything's a could. We don't know. Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State?
You know, if you're asking me, would I rather, Dolphin fan, go and trade up to get Haskins, hold Pat at 13 and hope Kyler Murray falls to us, or take one of these guys, a Drew Locke in the second, a Will Grier in the third or the fourth? I would rather take the guy in the second, third, fourth round.
You draft two quarterbacks in the
draft?
No.
What I'm saying is, if you fall in love...
Oh, I got you. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
If you think that Will Grier has... moxie to be an NFL quarterback. Yeah, sit, but hold Pat, sit in the and get your guy in the third round. I would rather that happen than give up more assets that you don't have to go up and get a Dwayne Haskins. Mm-hmm. Now, I think Dwayne Haskins is going to be a really good NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. I just think him in Miami, when you give up future assets to bring him in, I don't want to build the team that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I see where you're coming from. It's going to be fascinating, and can't wait to see what they do. It's going to be your number 13. Is that where you guys are? 13.
Yeah.
But either way, there's going to be no Tannehill. There's going to be no Osweiler. So it's going to be David Fales and competition. Well, so maybe you could have a rookie quarterback starting for you next year.
Is it a rookie? Is it a Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, I don't know if they're going to go that way.
I think he pretty much ruled out that they're going to go for the veteran quarterback elsewhere.
But is Brian Fitzpatrick, though, in the same conversation as Foles and Carr? Maybe not.
And Flacco? I don't think so. I mean, those guys who are clearly NFL starters in today's game, Fitzpatrick, depending what week you look at last year, he's either a starter or he's a competent backup.
I hope he goes to a good football team so be a backup.
So not the Dolphins.
No, if I were him, I mean, I know he wants to start. I know he wants to play, but...
No doubt.
And Dopey does say Dolphins tried that once with Pat White talking about taking a quarterback out of West Virginia.
Yeah.
All right. Come on. You can't look at it. So every quarterback out of West Virginia is bad? I mean...
Always.
Pat White, if I recall... wasn't your prototypical quarterback.
He was not.
He was a roll-out-and-run guy, right?
He was a guy that they thought that they could
and major
expand the Wildcat with.
Right, right.
What's his name?
That was a trend that did not catch up.
Major, what's the guy?
Major Apple?
Major, no, not Major Apple. The other major from West Virginia.
Harris.
Major Harris. He was a phenomenal caller. I thought his NFL career would be better.
Yeah.
But even like what Cameron said, you know, so let's say you go out and get, and I'm just throwing this guy out, Will Greer, who you know, Daniel Jones, whatever. Mm-hmm. You get him in the second or third, that doesn't close the door on taking a Tua next year, a Jake Fromm next year, one of these guys that's going to be coming out that is, at least at this point in their career, more highly touted.
Right.
Yeah.
A better NFL prospect.
I'm going with, you know, Stidham.
I've always liked Stidham.
I like Stidham, Drew Locke, I like Greer, and I like Finley out of NC State.
Now,
at Stidham and the hits that he took going up against SEC defenses for 2 years, staying in the pocket. Yeah. I mean, he impressed me. They got blown out against Bama this year, but he hung in the pocket against that D.
Now, here's the question. Stidham, whoever, put him in, quarterback X. Can he lose 14 games for you?
That's what you want.
Okay. All the rookie quarterbacks this year won like 5 games at least, right? Jets won 5. Baker won 7. I mean, you put in a guy that's got talent.
I don't think there's anybody at that level.
Okay.
Right. And I even put Lamar Jackson in a different category. Lamar Jackson didn't win all those games.
Right.
Lamar Jackson leaned heavily on his defense and was asked not to make the mistake.
Yeah.
Whoever is the quarterback in Miami next year
got nothing to lean
probably
on.
Won't have a great defense to lean on.
All right, sounds good. All right, more Dolphin talk if you want, 239-337 ESPN. But when we come back, LeVar Ball has lost his mind. And I know I've said that before.
Yes.
And it's like the boy that cried wolf.
This time it really happened.
But this time it happened.
The man that cried Phoenix.
Which I think is going to create a very awkward moment in the locker room tonight for the Lakers on the road against the Pacers. We'll tell you what we're talking about. This next is Shima DeShepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.